This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm in a box, Chris. There's no two ways about it. I'm in a box. I didn't want to mention it, but now the video, the audio started, I'm a little bit scared. I'm in a box.
What is this box?
I bought a box that isolates me from the rest of my building, because my building is very loud and quite wooden, so there's a lot of sound reflections, and so I thought I'll get myself a little vocal booth, and now I'm in it. I feel like probably how Deadmau5 feels when he's DJing.
What's led you to do this all of a sudden?
Rampant professionalism, and the fact that there was an advert for this vocal booth advertised by the singer-songwriter Seal. And who doesn't want to be Seal? He goes out with like supermodels and that. Who doesn't want to be Seal?
He does. Exactly. And is it a good purchase? Has it actually worked well?
Well, we'll find out, won't we? I'll probably sound like I'm in a multi-million pound studio, whereas you will sound like you're in a kitchen.
But I am an also echoey kitchen in Sendai, yeah.
But also, I am in a kitchen.
Brilliant.
Pretty exciting.
Well, I've had a good week. I've just finished my coffee, and I've had a video come out for the first time in a while. People have been complaining there's been no videos. I don't really know why that's been. I don't know why there's been no videos. I think I've just dropped the ball for a bit because I was off seeing Natsuki, as we heard in last week's podcast. Yeah. But there's a new video that's come out. Have you watched it?
I have watched it. Ryotaro's friend is... Ryotaro's school friend, was that? Is very charismatic.
She was, wasn't she? She was awesome. That was like a... If you've seen the video or not seen the video, it's called... What was it called? Crap, I've forgotten the title to my own video. It was something like meeting a stranger, befriending a stranger in a Japanese city or something. In the video, I had a challenge where I had to meet a local in Matsuyama City and be shown around for the day. And there was genuinely no forward planning. I did ring Ryotaro and I had to be like, do you know anyone in Matsuyama who will show me around for the day? And he conjured up an old university school friend called Kazu, this really nice woman. And she showed me the round for the day and was a massive hit with the viewers. Like, all the comments in the video couldn't have been more flattering.
King,
she
King
went
Kazu.
Down really well.
King Kazu, the old footballer.
Kazu.
Yeah, she... I like the fact that she clearly has never seen any of your videos.
I know. I put her on the spot there.
Wonderfully awkward.
I was a bit mean. But you always get people, whenever you say... people often say, you know, oh yeah, I watch your videos, and you're like, yeah, which one? And then they don't know because they haven't actually watched your videos. So I've started being a dickhead and calling people out on that for amusing effect. And but she was lovely, couldn't have gone better. No. And the video went down well, so I'm in a good mood. My mood is often dictated by how well a video does. If a video hits 200,000 views, I can smile and be happy. If it doesn't, I cry. And I'm depressed, and no amount of coffee can make me happy again.
Well, sometimes it'll be waiting.
Next video comes out.
Well, sometimes it'll be waiting around like the 195 mark, and then 2 weeks later, it'll have gone over 300. You're like, well, where did that happen? Why did that happen in like a month's... Like a month after. It's weird, YouTube, isn't it? Sometimes things get promoted, sometimes they don't. Oh, it's nonsense, isn't it?
We had I had a video that just went viral randomly the other week. I think it was the pachinko video where Natsuki and I went and played pachinko and Takayama. It just magically went viral a few weeks ago and got like another 300,000 views overnight.
Yeah.
So you never know what to expect. It's half the thrill of being a YouTuber. You never know what you're going to wake up to.
What's the other half? Hanging out with Natsuki, presumably.
Hanging out with Natsuki, amongst other things.
Yeah.
And getting lovely fan mail, like this one. So I got an email from a girl called Shannon the other day. And here, I'll read it out. She says, I was on a flight from LA to San Francisco and noticed the girl sitting next to me looking over at my phone early in the flight.
Road.
On the way off the plane, she asked me if I'd been listening to the Abroad Japan podcast. I said that I was, and we instantly exploded into a fury of conversation about our upcoming trips to Japan. I wish I'd asked her for her Instagram or something so we could stay in touch, but alas, potential friend fail. Still, though, it was awesome to connect with another fan for a minute and gush with equal enthusiasm for the show, podcast, and upcoming travel plans. There you go, the Abroad Japan podcast, bringing people together on planes in America since 2018.
Who, I like that, though. Who doesn't love a crisp, broad, plane-based gush, quite frankly?
It's just nice to bring some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, context to doing
this,
like YouTube and podcasts, this.
Yeah.
You know, you often don't realise that there's thousands of people around the world listening.
Scares me, Chris. I've got my head in a box, mate. I can't see anyone.
But it's cool. It's kind of cool. Like, you forget how brilliant it is doing this.
Yeah.
So thanks for that, Shannon. And if the if there's anyone else listening, or the girl on the plane who spoke to Shannon is listening, drop me an email and I'll forward it to Shannon and we can connect you once and for all.
Lovely old job.
Make it happen.
Perfect.
Yeah. But this week, we are talking about the first 48. What the hell's that? It's like Thor. 48.
Didn't he sing 48. Somebody That I Used to Know? That song. 48.
Exactly. 48 hours in Japan. We asked you guys to send in your stories or things you'd like to do in your first 48 hours in Japan. Because it's a common question. Lots of people come to Japan, they don't know what to do when they hit the ground running. And so we've got lots of answers from people around the world this week. Before we dive in, though, what would you do? What have you done, Pete, in your first 48 hours in Japan?
Well, I always land at the weekend, so in the first 48 hours, I'm usually drunk off my arse. But no, I'll have a wander around. Akihabara's quite fun. I really like my video games, so just going up there and seeing old PC engines and old Sega Mega Drive, that's always quite an easy sell for me. Invariably, just eat.
Do you drink on the plane on the way over?
No.
The image of you is just like getting drunk and then landing and then rolling off and being like, yeah,
I'm Wayne Rooney. I've had a sleeping pill. legitimately happened in Washington a few weeks ago. No, I don't drink on the plane, thank you very much. All right, I'll have a glass of red with my dinner and I might have a vodka and, what do you call them? Not a red eye, what are they called? What are normal human English people call them? Red drinks with tomato in. Bloody Marys. I'll have a Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary. Right. Yeah.
That gets me off to sleep. Lovely
red
job.
Drink. I prefer the title Red Drink.
The old Red Drink, yeah. The old Red Drink. Yeah.
But I mean, my first 48 hours in Japan, I think I didn't do a lot. I think I just sat in a hotel room. And then I went to the Metropolitan Tower in Shinjuku and just fell asleep on a chocolate cake overlooking the Tokyo skyline.
Oh, yeah.
That was my first day in Japan. It was probably quite good, actually. Basically. What more could you want? I always find when I get to a city, I have to go up a skyscraper, though, and get like a view over the city, a bit like Assassin's Creed. You know when you climb a tower in Assassin's Creed,
the
game, and try and get
jump
a view
off.
Of the city? I do that, except I don't then dive headfirst into a pile of hay. But I like to get up, get a good view of the city, and that is something that came up a few times. But let's dive in. Let's see what we've got. What's the first 48 hours in Japan story, Mr. Donaldson?
Oh la la. Graham in Newcastle says, greetings, Chris and Pete. Myself and my wife on our honeymoon visit a town near Nakano to see the snow monkeys in an onsen late 2017. Wandering around the town at night, I spot a sign saying coffee 500 yen, which I point out to my other half as she loves coffee. We enter a very old, cramped coffee house with a woman seemingly in her 90s and not speaking English. The latter half we were used to at this point. My wife orders her coffee and I order an honest Jujutsu, but I was getting the bad vibes. When the orange didn't turn up, I wasn't bothered as long as it didn't appear on the bill. The old lady took our 5,000 yen note, around £35, as we didn't have small change and bid us farewell. What? We argued politely with her for 10 minutes before my wife went across the alley and brought in the local butcher. He didn't understand English either, but I mimed our situation to this very polite man, and he then argued with the woman for only 5 minutes. Well, for 5 minutes. In the end, we only paid 1,000 yen for our coffee, and we had a good story. So, basically, Graham's first 48 hours scammed out of 4,000 yen.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What I love just this image of Graham's other half bringing in the local butcher. Like, what a great way. What a great way to start your trip in Japan.
Plan C is the local candlestick maker, I reckon. Then maybe a tinker and a tailor.
What was the old woman thinking by just taking all this money? Like 35 quid for two coffees. What was going through her mind?
Maybe she was so old she was used to hyperinflation. Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Maybe she was used to like hyperinflation or something back in the day. Maybe 5,000 yen wasn't very much money back in the day. I don't know.
Bloody hell. Well, if you find yourself in Nagano and you see a coffee shop for 500 yen, avoid it.
It's the biggest scam going.
The greatest scam in Japan. Oh,
yeah, no,
mate. Scams in
yeah,
Japan.
No, the zero fell off the sign. It's actually 5,000. Disgusting, eh? Gravity.
To be honest, that's the only plausible explanation I can think of. other than the woman being a bit of a bitch. Anyway,
language.
Caleb from Singapore. Jeez. Hi, Chris and Pete. I had a very, very memorable first 48 hours in Osaka during my last trip to Japan, which is all the way back in 2015, but the memory is still super fresh. My friends and I had just reached Osaka, and we were on our way out to meet our Airbnb host. since it was our first time there, we couldn't resist this street-side takoyaki store by this random neighbourhood. We bought them and went over to a random bench to partake in those balls of goodness. It was then that one of my friends, let's call him John for now, decided to leave his wallet by the side of the bench and forget about it until evening. We went back to the same bench, and alas, it was not there. I went over to the local police box and tried my very best to communicate to the policeman about the lost Fred Perry wallet containing much of his cash. I spent at least 2 hours stringing up the little Japanese that I know. By the way, the police were speaking in a heavy Kansai accent, which was my beginner Japanese knowledge just wasn't good enough to translate. And we decided to skip the Kobe beef dinner. We had planned to settle for Yoshinoya instead. During dinner, I told my friend to be more attentive and keep his JR rail pass safe. Mm. The next day, we took the train and ferry out to the island of Miyajima. We had a blast, but right before we wanted to depart the island, dear John couldn't find his JR rail pass. In just 48 hours, clumsy John had lost over $1,000 in such a short period of time. Bloody John. Caleb from Singapore.
That is,
I thought there'd be a happy ending to that story.
No,
but
yeah.
They went over to the police box and the police was just holding the wallet. But no, there is no happy ending. If you are a Muppet, and you will pay the consequences. I guess that's the moral of the story.
Yeah, going on holiday with liabilities is something else. It's just like, oh, come on, mate, get it. Will you just get it together? We all like a good time, but get it together. Like, I'm a big party boy, but I don't lose things. I've always got my passport on me. I'm always very safe with my possessions. And, you know, Japan's a place that you can be, you know, quite laissez-faire with your possessions, literally, in Caleb and John's place.
Yeah, usually people, you hear stories, the one that comes up is they forget their wallet on the train and then they go and collect it the next day and it's fine. Mm. You know, that's the common story. Here there is no happy ending. He just screwed it up. I mean, do you have friends that you travel with, Pete, that are on par with clumsy John?
Not people who sort of lose things. They're just sort of late. They procrastinate when you're trying to get ready. And I'm like, guys, it's like, it's 11 o'clock. Are we going to leave the house at any point? Like, it's just just fuzzy thinkers. Not like me. Straight as an arrow. So sharp.
You're not a fuzzy thinker.
I'm not a fuzzy thinker. So I just think I am, you know, if you're responsible for everybody else on a holiday and you can't get your shit together because you're so self-involved, I think that's a real mark of rudeness, in my opinion.
There you go. Be careful you take on holiday.
Exactly.
That's the moral of the story there, isn't it?
Don't take an idiot on holiday. That's all I'm saying. Unless you're an idiot yourself.
Poor old clumsy John.
Poor John.
Poor old clumsy John.
I presume you do, because you read the last one. Yeah, sorry. Dan Ward in the UK. Hello, Dan Ward in the UK. Hey, Chris and Pete, I literally just had my 48 hours in Japan. Currently, I'm listening to the podcast on the Shinkansen from Tokyo to Kyoto. And as you mentioned, Fuji, it came into view. Well, that's quite lucky, because it's usually very hazy. I was staying near Shinjuku, so I spent the first day exploring the area, went into places like Don Quixote, checked out the arcades and went for sushi under Godzilla. The second day, I was heading to Roppongi, but got off the metro just after Shibuya to check out a Sakura point that had been flagged on Google Maps, and then I decided to walk to Roppongi. Not that long a walk.
Do you know what a Sakura point is?
What do you mean, as in, like, is it like a, well, I presume it's a place where you see blossom, but as in, like, Sakura Point, as in, it gets put on Google Map when you can see a load of blossom. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's clever.
If you, if you're in Japan and you're using Google Maps and you see, like, a little flower pop up, that's because Google Maps Japan are pretty good. And,
spotting them.
Everyone knows, like, cherry blossoms are, like, the event of the year. And even Google's jumped in on that. It's pretty cool, though. I didn't know that existed until now.
That's lovely.
You ever see that come up, if you head for the Sakura Point, you will be overwhelmed with the beautiful flowers.
Beautiful flowers. And then after that, I took Chris's advice and went up Mori Tower. The view is incredible, and I even saw Fuji in the distance. After this, I wandered around the large cemetery I saw from the top of the tower. Extremely peaceful and beautifully kept. From there, I went to Akihabara and spent the rest of the day there hunting out items I would buy the day after. I spent so much money, I then went to the Square Enix Cafe also. I don't rate it. I've been to the Square Enix Cafe as well. I also don't rate it, but I did once buy a meal that included a little chicken claw, and so I had lots of fun.
Bad?
It's just a bit. I mean, it's just a bit naff, really, isn't it?
Overpriced.
Overpriced. Just everything's a bit shit. Same with the what are those big robots? What are the big robot guys? Yeah, you know the big robot suits.
Big robot.
Gundam Cafe in Akihabara.
Robot
Hotel.
Oh, right. Gundam.
Well,
yeah.
A little bit naff.
Yeah.
I was sat alone next to another guy on his own when a member of staff suddenly requested we share a table as more customers had turned up. For some reason, the guy next to me rose his fists as if to box, which the staff member started panicking like crazy. He explained it was in jest, and I moved up to his table to see an awkward silence. And yet the table I moved from was never filled. But there we go. My first 48 hours in Japan. Pete, I'm yet to try Coolish, but it's on the list. You leave that Shinkansen right now, Dan Ward in the UK, and you get yourself some bloody Coolish. Run out of the JR station, grab yourself a Coolish from the 7-Eleven, and let's have no more about it.
Absolutely. Grab some Coolish for the train back, and if you're lucky, you might see Fuji again whilst having a sip. Lucky devil, I never ever see Mount Fuji. Now, I don't know if you remember, in September I made that video called Mount Fuji Ruined My Day, where I went specifically to the best viewing spot of Mount Fuji to try and see it. I got there, I was there like 3 or 4 days, and not once did I catch a glance of it. Not once. And ever since then, people from around the world who are visiting Japan just send me photos hashtagging Mount Fuji with their amazing views of it, just to rub it in. So I hate everyone that sees Mount Fuji instead of me, because I'm a very bitter, twisted individual. I'll have to try and go back and have another look.
Hiding its yama under a bushel, so to speak.
What?
I don't
know. Another point, though, Dan brought up Mori Tower. If you are wanting the best view of Tokyo ever, go up Mori Tower in Roppongi. It's a little bit pricey. It's, I think, 2,000 yen. But you can go on the rooftop of a 230-metre skyscraper, and the view is just incredible. It's right next to Tokyo Tower. The Skytree is a little bit too far out for a good view of Tokyo, so I always recommend Mori Tower. It's right in where the action is. It's right in the heart of Tokyo. Whereas the Skytree, whilst it's twice the height, the observation deck, it's just too far away to have a really good view of Tokyo, I find, unless you've got a really clear day. So it's my tip of the day, or my tip of this on this comment,
tip of the day.
Go up Mori Tower instead.
Lovely.
Yeah, we need a soundbite. We need to get Natsuki saying that.
Tip of the day. He sort of talks like that. He sort of talks a little bit like a cool rock star, like from the 70s. Hey. tip of the day.
You've summed up Natsuki frighteningly well. Got a message from Ray and Van.
Ooh.
It says, hi Chris and Pete, long time listeners here from Melbourne. Ray and Van here. You guys have kept up our 8 hour long interstate drive to Adelaide and another 8 hours back. Bearable as we smashed through your podcast stash from last year. Whee! If you're just new to the podcast, definitely go and check out the old ones. We've got quite a lot of good ones here. For the first 48 hours in Japan, we thought we'd share our plan for our upcoming trip this November. Upon arrival in Tokyo, if we arrived during the day, we'd smash some sushi in Uebo... I can't pronounce that. Uebe... Why can't I pronounce that?
Wobe.
Because it's a really awkward word.
Wobe!
It's spelled U-O-B-E-I.
Mm.
I can't do it. Why am I failing? Anyway, Shibuya Dogenzaka Sushi Train. It's a sushi restaurant where it comes on a train, just like it would in what everyone thinks Japan looks like.
Yeah.
And go to Odaiba Wedo Onsen afterwards to relax for the remainder of the day. For Pete, this is a completely different topic, they say, for Pete, where and how did you get your Japanophile certification? In quotation marks.
Mm.
I'm sure many people would love to have that same certificate. Ray and Van, non-certified Japanophiles. How do you get your Japanophile certification, Pete?
Well, it's a bit like Dark Souls. I had to destroy everyone in a battle with an enchanted sword, and now I've got that certification. Actually, no, I ordered it on an iPad in Uobe, Shibuya Sushi Train. If you can get into
what
that,
does,
if you can get
you
into
pronounce
that,
pronounce it better than I can.
Yeah, well, I've been there about five times because it's the sort of place that you take your friends to impress them. Oh, look, it's Japan. It's the future. If the future was in the 1970s. But it's the food's pretty good, and you order the food on little iPads, and they come and it comes on a little train and then returns again. I imagine the back
and
end
that's right
of
in
that.
The middle of Shibuya.
Oh yeah, it's right in the middle. Yeah, it's like Nichome, I think.
So the sushi's pretty cheap, and it comes on a train.
Yeah, I mean it's not great. It's not great sushi, but you get free green tea like in most places.
I mean, if I have a friend coming to Japan, I often take them to one of those places just because everyone loves it, right? It's part of the Japan experience.
Exactly.
Food on a train. But also, I don't really go there myself, though. I find the sushi's a bit meh. Once you've had, like, proper sushi, where it's done by hand, right in front of you, fresh out the refrigeration thing, it's just so much better. It tastes so much better. The cuts are more fresh and they're thicker. I think once you've had proper sushi, it's hard to go back to conveyor belt sushi.
Oh, fancy Chris with the YouTuber. Oh, I'd hang out in hotels eating sushi. Pathetic. I'm a man
of the street. I know you don't like it.
I'm a man of the street eating coolish.
Because you don't like seeing people make sushi by hand in front of you.
Yeah, wash your hands.
I saw your reaction to it once.
Yeah, because you know,
from clean hands.
Yeah, we watched a man cut up our steak, our A5 Wagyu steak, and then I saw him through the window having a cheeky tab out the back. Having a cheeky cigarette. Outrageous.
More flavour?
I don't know. Well, it was just cigarette flavour. Gives it that smoky finish. We got a message from Mike here. Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm Mike from Berlin. Which is a wonderful sentence, isn't it? I'm Mike from Berlin. I was in Tokyo January to celebrate New Year's with my girlfriend who lives there. My plane landed in the afternoon and I had some time on my hands before she finished work, so I looked up the closest ramen shop and went there just to realise that the menu is entirely in Japanese. But I was determined and feeling adventurous, so I pointed on a random item on the list and using a few weeks of Duolingo knowledge I acquired, I said, what have we got here? Kore no ko desai. Is that right?
Kore woko desai.
Isn't it? Because he's got his foot. Basically, I know the war character because it looks like a man stepping on some thin ice. You see what I mean?
I do. Yeah. I think he made a... I think Mike from Berlin made a mistake of his Japanese, but it says Kore woko desai. Kore woko desai, which means this one, please.
Oh, so you can shorten Kore o kudasai. Kore o.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome. Like, what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like, what if you have unexpected medical costs?
United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Yeah. This, please. I heard somebody say something quite cute. What is it? Tsubasa ga hoshii desu. I need wings. I'm going to use that so much.
Hear that?
That's going to be my new jisaboke. That's going to be my new jet lag. I need wings. Tsubasa wa hoshii desu.
Where did you learn that phrase?
I don't know. I think I saw the kanji for wings, and then I googled wings, and then basically that came up. Tsubasa wa hoshii desu. Oh,
well, you know,
wings.
At least you know what phrase to use when you come over next time.
Exactly. When I'm stood at the top of Mori Tower, I'll go, I need wings. anyway, the waitress nodded after he said this, please, and soon after came back with the most delicious ramen I've ever had. Feeling proud of myself, I slurped it up in the company of the salaryman around me. This is definitely the best way to kick off an amazing trip to Japan. As for the rest of the 48 hours, jet lag definitely dictated my schedule. I was always up at the crack of dawn, so I just walked around the streets, watching people getting to work, experiencing a quiet, peaceful Tokyo as it was waking up. It was fascinating, an insight into the life of a city that tourists might not always experience, so I'd recommend doing the same to anyone. Thanks for the fun podcasts, which make the torturous task of cleaning my flat on the weekends go by much more quickly. All the best, Maggie Boy. Thanks, Mike.
What can we learn from Mike?
Have some ramen.
What's... And koryo kudasai. Koryo. One phrase worth knowing.
Yeah, nice.
This one, please.
This one,
this
please.
One.
Or if it's over there, sore o kudasai.
What?
Or if it's right over there, areo kudasai. Is that right? No. Yeah,
not
areo.
Not really, no.
Shit.
Not really.
Doreo. Is it doreo? Shut up.
We're not going there, Pete. I'm going to have to fix this another day.
Deary me. Never mind.
There's a whole other podcast in the making, teaching Pete Japanese phrase. I, Gris and Pete, keep up the good work with the podcast.
No.
We normally listen to your podcast on our way to work, but this time we were listening to it in Japan as we're currently enjoying our second trip here. Yeah, 4D Japan experience, 4D Abroad in Japan podcast, be in Japan whilst listening to the podcast. It's amazing. Mm. Our route in Japan is Tokyo, Kyoto, Nara, Osaka, Himeji, Hiroshima, Takayama, Kanazawa, Nikko, and back to Tokyo. Wow, that's a good route. Mm. That's like a lot of money route. You need to bring a pretty nice big credit card along for that, but that is like the ultimate route. I can't recommend it enough. To answer your question, in the first 48 hours we made a point of, number one, eating okonomiyaki, Pete's favourite, number two, decompressing after our long flight from Canada with some fresh air and an enjoyable hike around Kamakura. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Kamakura, the old ancient town just about an hour outside of Tokyo. It's lovely there. I think recently I saw a video of PewDiePie there. So if it's good for PewDiePie, it's good for anyone.
And
especially
the alt-right.
Yeah, I don't know where that's going. And number three, we went to the Studio Ghibli Museum, and that's from Paul and Lorraine Haskins. Mm. Nice one.
I think I went to Kamakura. That's the one with the the ninja village, isn't it? No, it's not actually. Know. No, I'm I've talking been, nonsense. Kamakura is the one with the beach that's not particularly nice and beachy, but it was a nice little town. There's a lovely little. It looks like a bank, an old kind of 50s bank building that's been converted into the world's smallest cocktail bar, which is very nice.
They've got a pretty cool Daibutsu, like a big Buddha statue.
Mm.
That's what I remember from it. I also, whenever I go to Kamakura, which is twice, I get bikes, and I don't get just normal bikes. I get e-bikes.
Ooh.
Where you pedal and the motor kicks in and does all the cycling for you. Should have done Journey Across Japan using an e-bike. Would have been a lot more easy and fun. Kamakura is a really nice day trip. If you're in Tokyo, you want to escape to somewhere by the sea, a little bit older, some old architecture and a nice
daibutsu,
and lovely temples, Kamakura, and do some surfing.
Mm.
But yeah, Pete, you're right. The beach is a bit of a letdown. Not going to lie there.
I like the fact that they draw those little floaty balls that they put in the sea to, I don't know, collect lobsters or whatever they do.
Floaty balls.
They draw little faces on them, and they're actually quite chilling, actually scary. hello to Jan. Hi, Jan. Hi, Chris and Pete, says Jan. My name is Jan. I'm from Poland. I'll be alone in Japan for 4 weeks from the 11th of August this year. It's my first time visit. I'm super excited / scared. Exciting, Jan. More like it. After getting in my place in Ikebukuro from Narita Airport, I'll probably go to Tokyo Tower to get the glimpse of how big that city is. We've already covered that. Go to Mori Tower instead. It's lovely. Tokyo Tower's the... Can you go up the Tokyo Tower? The old red thing?
Yeah.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Yeah, it's good. The only problem is you can't see Tokyo Tower from it because you're in it. That's one of the nicest things about Tokyo's skyline. So.
Yeah. After that, I'll probably go to some bars, pubs, izakayas to drink and meet some locals. The next 2 days, I'll probably jump on a rented bike and roam around the city. Take care, Jan. Excellent. I recommend the bar in Shibuya called Bar Rockaholic. I swear I'm not in their employ, but I certainly recommend their bar because I've been going there for about 6 years, quite frankly. But rented bikes, to be honest, getting off the plane last time when I saw you, I did a couple of legs of your journey across Japan, and it was fun because it was like, it got the blood pumping, it got me working a little bit, it got me doing stuff I wouldn't usually do, and I tell you what, settle the jet lag, getting on a bike for a couple of hours.
I remember that day really well. We cycled around Lake Biwa, didn't we? And it was so beautiful. I think it was like one of the nicest stretches of the entire cycle.
Yeah.
Just around Lake Biwa.
Definitely joined the right time, didn't I?
Off in the rain. Yeah, it was lovely. It was really nice.
Well, once we got to Kyoto, it was chucking it down. But before that, it was absolutely lovely.
That's the power of the weather.
Can I just say, though,
I was impressed by your ability to say Ikebukuro really quickly.
Ikebukuro!
Or effortlessly.
Yeah, I'm not too bad with the B's and the K's. It's just when it's like... Ueno. When there's like, just like ueh. I can't do it.
Asakusa. Can you say that?
Asakusa. But also, like, Asakusa. They seem to like contract a lot of the words, like suki, ski. Like you barely hear do you? It's mad. Daisuki.
Howdy, Chris and Pete. My name is Keegan. I'm from Washington State. I love listening to the podcast while I'm at work, stacking boxes in trucks. It makes the job somewhat bearable.
Mm.
The second time I went to Japan, my first 48 hours were rough, so I guess this is what not to do. I flew into Narita Airport and had 3 hours to get to Haneda Airport for another flight to Nagasaki. That was a terrible idea, and I barely made it. I don't know how you even did that in 3 hours. They're fairly long distance apart. Like Tokyo, for those of you who don't know, Tokyo has two main airports. Narita's the big one where lots of foreign travellers come in, and Haneda's the kind of domestic airport.
Yeah.
And to get from Narita to Tokyo is about an hour and 10 minutes by like a little mini bullet train, and then you got to cross all the way across Tokyo, get on like another train to Haneda. I am amazed you made it, so well done. Once I arrived in Nagasaki, it was around 10:30 p.m. or so. I've been flying around for 15 hours. I met up with my host family, who only spoke Japanese, and I speak very, very little Japanese. We proceeded to go to a bar to celebrate my host father's birthday until 2 o'clock in the morning. The next day was just as rough, with other adventures, barely any sleep. Long story short, if you have to switch airports, give yourself more than enough time to do so. Don't wear a belt through a Japanese airport metal detector, and don't go to a bar right after you've been awake for 20 hours. Keep up the great work, Keegan. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Poor
that,
old
that
Keegan.
That sounds heavy. I mean, just the 3 hours to get from Haneda from Narita. I mean, Narita is a fair click out of the city. It's a good hour and 15, isn't it? Just into, is it Tokyo Station or Ueno or the hell? And then you
walk
out there
from
Tokyo
Station or Ueno.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's not even, it's not even in Tokyo, it's in Chiba.
Yeah.
I, that's why I try, my tip of the day is, there's another tip of the day, there's lots of tips of the day here, always try and fly into Haneda Airport, because it's right in the heart of Tokyo, and it's like 20 minutes from the airport into the middle of the city, as opposed to Narita. Like, it's nothing worse than being jet-lagged and tired, arriving at Narita Airport, which is really ugly, rubbish, crappy airport. There goes my sponsorship deals with any Narita Airport up the, down the drain. But yeah, I really don't like it. So try and fly into Haneda if you can.
Usually, if you go west to east, you invariably get there in the morning, or I certainly try and get there quite early just so I can make the most of the day. And I quite like getting a shower at the airport, because if you're not going to be checking into your Airbnb until about, or hotel until about 2 or 3, which most places will have, it's really nice to have a quick shower before you actually set off, and it refreshes you a little bit.
There's also, in Narita Airport, there's also a capsule hotel called 9 Hours,
okay.
I think. 9 Hours, yeah. And I've stayed there, and that's quite a nice capsule hotel. If you want to have a capsule hotel experience
for a couple of hours
when you're leaving Japan, your flight's kind of early in the morning or something. There's 9 hours.
Oh,
it's really
nice.
Good. It's quite cheap. And it's one of the best capsule hotels I've stayed in, as the capsules themselves are actually pretty big.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what you're going to get with a capsule hotel. It might feel like a coffin, or it might feel like a, well, it might just feel like a nice little, well, I don't know where this is going. But it either feels like a coffin, or it feels kind of nice and refreshing and a decent size. Cozy. But yeah. 9 hours, check it out.
Lovely.
We've got another one from Natalie from Hampshire in the UK, which is where we're from. Go on, Pete. I'll hand this to you while I drink some water.
I've just binge listened to the whole back catalogue of podcasts over the last few weeks, keeping me company on my breaks at work. I'm coming to Japan for the fifth time this autumn, and my first 48 hours are going to be spent in Sendai. We land at 5:30 a.m. In Haneda, and we'll head north immediately. In Sendai, we plan to eat gyutan, visit Matsushima Bay, and the following day take the train up to Yamagata Prefecture to climb Yamadera Temple. After that, the first 48 hours, we're hiring a car and driving around Tohoku for 2 weeks, followed by another week in Yamanashi to see Mount Fuji. My four previous trips have all started off in Tokyo, so I'm looking forward to exploring a new city and getting to know Tohoku. Keep up the good work. Natalie from Hampshire in the UK.
Do you know what gyutan is?
Oh, is it some kind of chicken? it sounds meaty.
Close, but not. No, gyu. Well, let's break it down. What's gyu?
Almost nine.
No. Well, it's a kind of meat.
Right.
Gyu. Think wagyu.
Ah, right. Beef then. Let's go with beef.
And tongue. Think tongue.
Gyu tan. Tanned beef. Beef. cows that have been left out in the sun for too long. They're practically jerky.
We're going to be here a while, aren't we?
It's jerky. It's jerky, Chris.
It's not jerky, but it's kind of close. Gyutan is just cow tongue. Yeah, cow tongue.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
The dish of Sendai.
I mean, you wouldn't go all the way to...
it's actually pretty good.
Is it? Really? Wow.
It is, yeah.
Do you get that in Yoshinoya?
you can do, actually, sometimes. I mean, I think... I never had tongue. Back when I lived in the UK, we do have tongue, don't we? But it's kind of...
It's just crap, really, isn't it?
it's just crap, yeah. But in Japan, they barbecue it, and they do a really good job barbecuing it, marinating it, seasoning it, and you get like a bit of miso sauce with it, and it's really quite good. It tastes really great, and it's not got the sort of chewy texture you'd expect. It's kind of very lean. It's actually quite healthy as meat goes, because it's all very lean. There's not much fat in it, so yeah, I'll have to take you for it next time you're around.
Unless you're eating Jamie Oliver's tongue, which is quite fat. A fat tongue. Unless you're, I'm just thinking about. I'm trying to think of the fattest tongue I know, and it's this Jamie Oliver, the chef, the celebrity chef. He's got quite a fat tongue.
Poor old Jamie Oliver.
Poor old Jamie Oliver.
Human punch bag. Bless him. Wonder if he's been to Japan.
Oh, he will have done money for telly.
I'd love to see Gordon Ramsay in Japan, actually. That'd be pretty fun.
I'd
like to see him on Japanese television, sorting things out.
He will have been on at some point, and somebody will be, at this point, finding on YouTube a clip of Gordon Ramsay doing his thing on Japanese television. But I think I never watch any food programmes, but Gordon Ramsay's just one of those characters that I can actually watch. And he's at his best when he's in doing his kitchen nightmares, and then he tries something that he really likes, and he goes... Well, that's delicious. And you don't realise it's going to happen. You're like, oh, he says it's delicious, even though he hated every other meal on your menu. The carrot cake was passable. And he's like, can I have the recipe? And they're like, no.
I think it happens like one in every 25 episodes he actually likes the food.
Yeah. He's just forever going into walk-in fridges going, what's that fucking doing there? Come on. Why is that old jar of mayonnaise in the back? What kind of place is this? Rubbish!
I must say, Kitchen Nightmares, the UK version of Kitchen Nightmares is one of my favourite TV shows. Going off on a tangent here, talking about media, but for those of you that have seen Kitchen Nightmares USA, check out the UK version. It came out before the American version. It's far less dramatised. It's actually, I don't know, it just feels a lot more realistic. Whereas the American version, I can't really watch it because it's really dramatised. There isn't much passion. It just seems to be people arguing with Gordon Ramsay.
It's always a waiter with a plate of food going into the kitchen going, he didn't like the pork. He said it sucked. He said it was dry. And I was like, the waiter's always on Gordon Ramsay's side. Where's the company man? Gordon Ramsay's going to be there for a day and then he's going to F off somewhere else. Why don't you have a bit of thought and be on the side of the proprietor and then you won't be mugged off at the end of the series because you've been rude to him on telly? No one likes being embarrassed.
There you go. Absolutely. There you go. I mean, definitely check it out. Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares UK. It's all on YouTube. God bless whoever's uploaded it. I spend a lot of my lunchtime watching it in between eating gyutang. But check it out. It's a nice tangent there. Another fact of the day.
Tangent, if anything.
Three facts of the day so far. Hi, Chris and Pete. Tay-Tay here, or Tay-Tay, spelt T-A-E-T-A-E.
I don't know how to pronounce it,
but let's say it. Tata is. Here would be my list of things to do in the first 2 days. Number one, exchange my JR rail pass and go straight to Hiroshima, specifically Onomichi, which is Pete's favourite place. Because Yakuza, the Yakuza game set there. And also the starting point of the Shimonami Kaido, which is point number two, which is I would then cycle Shimonami Kaido and its seven wonderful bridges. Number three, I would then book an Airbnb somewhere in the middle. And number four, I'd then ferry to Tobishima Kaido for another seven bridges to conquer. Basically, I'd just explore the inland sea via bicycle. Pete could also enjoy this, since Yakuza is based on the streets of Onomichi. I'm planning to do this in May. Please do tell me if you think this sounds like a suicidal trip. I might then adjust my schedule if it is. Thank you. Have a pleasant day. Tay-Tay. I'd say it's a great schedule. It's very rare to find someone who arrives in Japan and goes straight to Hiroshima to do a cycle. But that's actually a really good idea. And I, having done the cycle twice across the Shimonami Kaido, it's my favourite thing. I'm thinking about doing it this year again for the third time.
How long does this take?
The cycle across the inland sea?
Yeah.
You can do it in a day.
Yeah.
Like if you get up at about 6 a.m. and you start cycling at 7 or 8, you can finish it by 5 or 6.
Right, okay.
So do it in the summer when you've got lots of light. Although don't do it in August when it's formidably hot. But no, it's a really nice trip. I'd love to do it again, and I always recommend it. So yeah, great, actual, really good idea. Highly recommend it. It won't be suicidal.
We got an email from, who have you got here? Matt in Milwaukee. Very pleasing. Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Oh. Hi, Chris and Pete. When this episode comes out, my brother, our friend, and I will be flying to Tokyo for the first time. If everything goes smoothly, we'll start our first full day by heading to the Kirby Cafe in time for our reservation.
Kirby Cafe.
From there, we will take a train down to the newly opened Toyosu Fish Market for some actual food. Then we will make our way to Odaiba and enjoy the interactive art shows and technology exhibits. I've been at some of those ones, and they're quite impressive. I did
make the robot.
Yeah, I did roll my ankle a few times in there. After taking a break in an onsen, where I believe Onsen World is set, we hope to finish the day by visiting a peculiar bar located near our accommodations called Popeyes, where they claim to have 70 beers on tap. The next day, we hope to spend some quality time in Akihabara to geek out for a bit and then make our way to Shibuya to enjoy the bustling streets before attending an EDM event at a club called Womb. Should be an exciting first 2 days. Keep up the great work, Matt.
Bloody hell. That's quite the plan, isn't it?
Club Womb.
I think this is the sort of itinerary you'd like, Pete. It's got beer, it's got robots, it's got EDM.
You know me,
Kirby.
That's my middle name, literally. It's electronic Donaldson music. I enjoy it immensely. And I don't necessarily like EDM. The problem with Japanese clubs is they play the same insipid pop/EDM everywhere you go. There is like my kingdom for an indie bar, my kingdom for an indie rock club, because my God, they just play the same, and they only play, say they'll play like Rihanna's Umbrella at one point, and now I love that song, it's one of the best songs ever written, and they play the chorus, one chorus, and then they get bored and they switch to something else, and you're like, mate, you're giving me the emotional bends here, I'm confused, what's going on?
I want to hear a song about umbrellas.
Yeah, damn
play
right.
Play the whole bloody song. I know how you feel, mate. It's exactly how I feel. I can't stand Japanese nightclubs. I just find they play the worst music. Mm. One time, I was in Roppongi and I found a club playing 80s music. And I got in, I had a drink, I started dancing. About 5 minutes later, the 80s section ended and it was EDM.
Yeah.
And it was like some nightmarish music. And I just, I can't dance to it. Mm. I don't know what it is. It's just very generic stuff. But what's the Kirby Cafe? I didn't know there was a Kirby Cafe. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I read Kotaku quite a lot, which, if you like video games, is a pretty decent site. They've opened branches all around the world, so you've got a Japanese version, like I think an Indian version as well, and like all over the place. Actually, one of the writers who released a couple of books on Japanese tattoos and Japanese whiskey, Brian Ashcraft, I think he lives in Osaka maybe or somewhere near there, and he... And he's quite knowledgeable, obviously, about everything Japanese, and he's quite a good read on Kotaku. But the Kirby Cafe is definitely one of the hits. That brings a lot of traffic to the site. The very idea of a Japanese Kirby Cafe. The thing with like themed cafes is, I mean, if I was going to imagine what a Kirby Cafe looks like inside, it'd be bright yellow and pink. And all of the rice dishes would be... There'd be too much rice because they'd be trying to make a version of Kirby's face in the rice. And they'd have a big mouth. And they're just messing around with your food. Same with the Gundan Cafe. Same, presumably, with the AKB... 47 Cafe, 48, whatever. I've one instead in my world.
AK-47
I will not respect whatever her name is. I will not respect her. I hate her. But themed cafes are just messing around with food. Stop messing around with food.
We've trashed a lot of cafes in this podcast.
Yeah.
From Gundam to the other one.
Gundam.
My friend tried to go to the Pokemon Cafe recently, but there's like a special reservation system because it's so busy that nobody can get in. That could be a fun one, though. Everyone loves Pokemon.
Well, it's been around for enough time to, people would demand a little bit more from a Pokemon cafe, I think it's fair to say. It's a big IP, isn't it? It's a big IP.
Right. Another thing from Matt's amazing itinerary is this Toyosu Fish Market. For those of you that don't know, it used to be the super-duper massive fish market, and the name isn't coming to me because I haven't had enough coffee. So what's it called?
Tsukiji? No.
Yes, good.
Is it?
Well done, Pete.
Yes.
Yes. You really are a Japan fan. Well done. Tsukiji Fish Market used to be the biggest fish market in the world. It was a bit like BioShock. You go in and there's like leaky taps everywhere, water dripping from the roof. Very chaotic, very messy, quite unpleasant, but brilliant for it. There was a sense of atmosphere there that you just couldn't get anywhere else. And I, after reading this, I looked up Toyosu Fish Market, the new one, where it all moved to.
Yeah.
And it just looks a bit sterile. It looks like an airport or a train station or something. You can watch the tuna auctions from there now.
Right.
Back at Skiji, you could watch the tuna auctions if you got up at 4 a.m. And it was like a really hard challenge. I mean, who the hell gets up at 4 a.m? I nearly died doing it. But it was kind of worth it to watch the tuna fish auctions go down. But now they've got this sort of observation deck, like 20 metres above. Yeah. And you can stand there, look out the window at the auctions going on in this kind of clinical atmosphere. I don't know, it just doesn't look very good from the videos. I should check it out before I completely destroy it and slag it off. But yeah, there was a lot of issues with this site when they moved there. Lots of fishermen and folks, fish shops closed down and were really unhappy about it. And also the fish market, the Toyosu Fish Market, was built on some sort of waste facility. And there's all sort of problems with radioactive soil or something.
Oh dear.
Seems to be all right now. Don't let that put you off. But I have to go and check it out.
Yeah,
I'm
around. Sure the invite's in the post as soon as they hear this.
Yeah.
Big tuna will be on you.
If any of you have been, let us know. Yeah. Let us know at the abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know if it's good. We've got one last story here from Mike. It says, Dear Chris and Mr. DJ Man. It's your new name, Pete. Mr. DJ Man. I visited Maibashi in Gunma Prefecture. I love Maibashi. That just sounds like the best named town. I visited Maibashi in Gunma Prefecture to stay with a friend. And a night out, the menu offered a dish named Deep Fried Hormones. I was fairly drunk, but I remember it being one of the best meals I've ever eaten. If I went to Japan, if I went to Japan again, in my first 48 hours, I would track down the restaurant and then eat it till I was probably sick. Kindest regards, Mike in sunny, happy London.
He makes it sound like he's eating the restaurant. I'll go back and eat the entire restaurant. There's remember I played that song by the band Maximum, the Hormone. They love the word hormone. It seems it's probably just gristle in it.
I can't remember that. I mean, have you ever eaten deep fried hormones?
No, but it's got to be just tendrils, and it's got to just be what are the strings in between tendons. It's probably just chicken tendons that are deep fried.
Yeah,
they know how to cook offal over there.
I can't eat it. it's pronounced horumon. Horumon.
Horumon.
And you see it at yakiniku grilled meat restaurants.
Right, okay,
you see
yeah.
The most. And you get like really horrible stuff. I remember in a video I did with Ryotaro a year ago, we went to one and he got deep fried uterus.
Oh,
and
no.
It looked just like a travesty.
But
imagine
like non-meat eaters going, well, that just seems normal to me because that you meat eaters are disgusting. Because I mean, like, imagine like we go, oh, gross uterus, but we'll go, delicious muscle. Yay, let's have some muscle.
Well, to be fair, the uterus did look pretty graphic and unpleasant from what I recall. You can check it out. I think we made a video called 5 Meat Dishes You Need to Try in Japan. It's right. Towards the end of the video. You can see it. It looked horrible. I didn't eat it, so I can't judge the flavour, but it smelt just... I can still remember the smell.
Not right.
It was that bad. Avoid uterus, but try the hormones.
Please
take away from Mike. But thank you to everyone that sent in their stories. There's some really great ideas here. And if you're coming to Japan, hopefully you got a little bit of inspiration from one of the many awesome stories we've just read out. Next week we'll be focusing on weird Japanese English. So send in your favourites. If you've been to Japan and you've seen some funny Japanese English, Japangrish or Ingrish, send it in to us. Let us know what you've got, and I'll be reading out a few of my favourites that I've seen over the years as well. But for now, guys, we'll be back same time next week as always. But have yourself a great week, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world. Goodbye. Have a good one.
Hormones.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.